Hi, I'm Jacques Berger, and when I'm stalking springbok in the Namibian wilderness, all I take with me is a knife and the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. It's all a real man needs.
Let's get to it, shall we?
Let's do it.
What do they do in American football before they put the hands in and they like say a couple of words, don't they?
They pray, don't they?
Yeah, normally
prayer. They normally pray.
Yeah.
Do you want to do some sort of alternative prayer, Jay?
No, just let me put on some notes. Henson and body oil. Okay.
Henson and body oil. Right. Hands in, boys. We're doing this penultimate podcast before the start of the rugby season.
That's actually got his hands in. It doesn't work for a podcast, though.
I'm putting my hand in
as
well.
Me and Tim both did.
Put your hands in. Henson and body oil on three. One, two, three. Henson and body oil. The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, and like I said, I know that the top 14 rugby's already underway. I know that there's rugby championship rugby going on, but it starts proper in 2 weeks. This is the penultimate rugby podcast before the season starts, and next week's will be the big preview show. However, there's a few bits of pre-season stuff we have to deal with, not least, where is Phil going to be in terms of a fan for next season? The final chance for a club to claim him as a new fan in the fan free agency on the way, and we are going to be talking about all the other rugby stuff going on. We'll get to that in a minute, but I'm Tim, he's JB.
Hi Tim.
And here's Phil.
Hello Tim.
And JB kicked off, he walked in, he said, right, first thing I want to talk about is my wrestling.
And my jiu-jitsu, actually.
Jiu-jitsu, all my right, fine.
It could be wrestling, whatever.
Hold on, go on then, so get this off your chest, but before you do, hold on, I've got some music for you.
What have you got for me?
If you smell what the
JB
is cooking.
Go on, JB.
Yeah, not quite that glamorous. Yeah, so anyway, it turns out I showed up at a jiu-jitsu tournament yesterday and I was late. And I missed my category, so I couldn't fight in the beginners section. So I asked the organisers, I said, no problem if I can't, but can I please fight? Can I fight in the blue belt section? They're about to fight now. There's only two guys, so you know, how hard can it be? And said, yeah, that's fine. So just as I was about to fight, this is a classic example of busybodies. And do you know that girl? The sort of will go, well, I just thought you should know. That kind of passive aggressive.
Yeah, saying.
Yeah, I just thought you should know. Okay, what did you think I should just know? So I was then asked, are you sure you want to do this? It's disrespectful to your master. So I had to inform her, obviously, I don't have a master. I do have an instructor, however. And I'm more than happy for her to phone him, except he's in Ibiza. So anyway, I fought and I was subsequently disqualified from the final.
You were disqualified from the final. Was it for lying about where your master, well, your
no,
coach,
it was
sorry, instructor, sensei,
sensei. Yeah, exactly. She thinks that we're in Cobra Kai. I mean, she clearly has nothing else to do. I broke a grip using my knee, which is completely legal. Look it up on YouTube. Do whatever you want. There is a caveat here. It's not completely one-way traffic, but I did knee a man in the face when I was trying to do it first time. And second time that I did it legally, I was then disqualified. So anyway, she had it in for me. That's not the important part. The important part is that this made Facebook on a ground called the Underground, which isn't obviously very underground, with the same thing like, I just thought you should know, Jonathan Beardmore has gone up a category today and may never fight white belt again. And then I've got 128 comments about the merits of fighting up. And not only that, I've now been banned from fighting in white belt, but it's against BJJ law to fight in blue belt. So I'm currently suspended until I get an actual blue belt.
You're in grappling limbo.
grappling purgatory.
So, JB on his soapbox there.
Yeah, if you ever want to start up jiu-jitsu, just have a little think about it and then don't do it. That would be my recommendation.
Phil's been in competition this weekend as well, haven't you, Phil?
I have, now that I've... Well, I'm not playing rugby at the moment. I need to throw myself into something else.
Ooh, exciting. What do you do?
So I enter myself into an eating competition. Just slightly different.
Did you have someone say, it's disrespectful to your master to have too much food?
Fortunately, I don't have a master. And I took on...
Have you checked with your work canteen chef that you can eat?
And I took on a friend of all of ours, Harry. So yeah, Harry is... 6'8", 6'9", something like that. A clear foot taller than me and about 6 stone heavier than me. And so for everyone watching...
So I assumed he finished it in half your time.
Well, yeah, you'd think it would be an easy win for Harry Gorin.
It was an easy win, right?
Not quite.
Okay, it's a close win. It was neck and neck.
Neck and neck for the first couple of minutes. And then I took him down.
What, was he ill?
What did you eat, Phil? What did you eat?
So, meat liquor triple chili challenge. It was a chili burger, a chili dog, and chili cheese fries.
There was a time limit, right?
Yes, it was a 10-minute time limit.
What stops you doing that every night?
Well, you get it free if you complete it, like I did, in 8.5 minutes.
That would make me shove it down.
And yeah, I didn't really want... I'm a bit skint at the moment. I didn't really want to be spending £30 on Tuesday night's
dinner. A real incentive.
Well, there we go. We got some big winners already, and rugby season hasn't even started. But there was a big, big winner at the weekend, wasn't there? Mm. New Zealand.
Wow.
Let's talk rugby championship for a second.
Yes.
That was something else, wasn't it? Phil, you called it. Do you remember last week on the podcast, JB? Phil said, I think it could be a little bit like the way it went when England played New Zealand in the summer. New Zealand looked a bit rusty and it was a close win and England were thinking they could have won it and then they just dominated in the second match, and it's exactly the same.
I wasn't going to bring that up, thanks to...
I don't know if it was the same, actually. Because, I mean, I've watched the game today, actually. I didn't watch it live. I think it was closer than the score let on.
I think Australia bombed two or three chances.
Yeah.
But at that level, you've got to put chances away.
Agreed.
But also, New Zealand bombed a couple of chances and still put 50 points on the board.
Is Surveyor the best boring player in the world?
He's very good at running in tries.
He is, isn't he?
I'm thinking of other boring players. He's definitely better than Jordan Crane.
Yeah. He might be in our boring 15 because he doesn't. Do you know when you watch?
He doesn't offload much.
Well, you watch Folau. It's like, oh my god, this is incredible. It's like watching a different species carry a rugby ball.
Surveyor just busts holes. He doesn't need to jink and step, does he?
He doesn't even seem to do that much. He seems to hit contact really hard. I don't know.
But if everyone's giving him the ball with loads of space and the try line to run at,
I wonder how much better or worse a George North or a Folau would be if instead of him
in that New Zealand. Oh. Yeah.
Better, yeah. Worse.
I don't know. That's hard to call.
I don't know. I have no idea. I wonder if Folau, if Surveyor would be any good on the wing for, I don't know, Scotland or someone.
Getting no ball, playing in dire conditions at Murrayfield.
Freezing cold, blue lips.
Do you know what impressed me so much about New Zealand? Well, two things, actually. The first thing is, I don't think there was that many times in the game that New Zealand had the ball for, say, more than four or five phases and didn't score or nearly score. They were so efficient. They had, because Australia probably had more possession. That would be my guess.
Yeah,
you're the stat man, Phil.
I've not seen the stats this week.
Do you know what? I still think, even though it was a big loss, I thought Australia had the best player on the field, which is Hooper.
Hooper's really
good. I'm going to just call him Hoops from on. Hoops is awesome.
Folau's incredible as well.
Folau's incredible. Yeah. But then the problem is the wingers aren't wingers. Their scrum got destroyed as well.
Yeah, I think it wasn't just the scrum. I think the New Zealand front five were the difference because I've never seen front five forwards and all of them being so agile, fit, making so many carries. They all run with the ball in two hands. Mm-hmm. They all offload. They all punch holes up the
middle.
And then you just make loads of room for Surveyor out on the wing.
Ritalik and Whitelock, the 2 second rules, were awesome.
The 2 second rules that I said were too small.
And New Zealand, they're forwards from a ruck or from a maul and they get like standing ball. They do two little passes and then the third man hits it ahead of steam. And that's where the gaps are and that's where they're bending that defensive line. Mm. And that's, like you say, it sucks defenders in and it creates so much space out wide for everyone else.
And I know that Northern Hemisphere, we do have good front five forwards, but I just don't think there's any of them will run head up, ball in two hands. You know, if an English prop's running one out from the scrum half, taking a ball, you know he's just going to hit contact.
Yeah. Well, if you see a Welshman doing that, they're definitely doing it. I mean, that is the Welsh plan, isn't it? They have that short side pattern.
I think Marler can do it. I think Marler has got quite good hands.
I was about to ask that question. Who's got the best hands of English props?
Corbisiero. Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Really?
Marler's got a good hand. You'd expect Tom Young's, but a front row, to have a good hands. He does have quite good
hands. The one who had famously good hands for Wales was Darren Morris. Famously good hands. Just had an eating disorder in the opposite way. An inverse eating disorder.
So New Zealand dominated, pumped Australia. Argentina, South Africa, I watched this game as well.
Incredible.
Oh, Argentina just can't convert.
Broke my heart.
They just can't convert.
I know. I said to Jay before that I felt sorry for Argentina, but that's patronising and I don't mean it like that because...
I felt sorry for them. I felt devastated for them.
I did feel sorry for them, but they played superbly for 60 minutes plus and they were in an eminently winnable position and you could argue...
It reminds me of Wales. again.
I'd say you could argue it was their mistakes. I feel it was more the lack of depth that they had that cost them the game. I think South Africa could bring established international players off the bench, whereas Argentina didn't seem to have that.
Argentina did have the best of the play, though, did have more chances, and they had a scrum which absolutely dominated.
Incredible, isn't it? Incredible.
I was thinking of you, JB, as I was watching it, thinking JB would be loving this. I hope he's watching this now, because he will be loving this.
Yeah.
Sacrivi and Herrera, they were absolutely awesome. And I think I put a little tweet out going that I think Sky Sports need to put Sky Sports 3 down on the TV guide as a sport channel and an adult film channel, because it was scrum porn.
Wow.
And Iertzer in particular pummeled the box. Iertzer kept his back long and rigid.
That's right.
He managed to squeeze his head right under and inside the hooker's bind, forcing them onto their knees.
Are you reading commentary there?
Just my observation of what happened. It was scrum porn. That guy, what's happened? Because a year ago, they were struggling in the scrum, and the box love their scrums.
Yeah.
Oh, the box. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't get that. I do now. I think, what the hell's he on about? Very good.
We should mention Juan Smith making his comeback match for South Africa.
And did he play?
He was told he'd never. Started. He was told, what, 5 years ago, you'll never play again?
I think it was 3 years ago. After his sixth failed operation and being unable to walk without pain, he was told, obviously, he'd never play rugby again, let alone international rugby. And
amazing,
3 years
isn't it?
Later, after a final correct operation.
Yeah, European champion.
Yeah. And a French champion. And
Springbok
international. Incredible, isn't it? It's like the most ludicrous car boot sale deal you could ever find. If you're Toulon, you must be delighted with this outcome.
I know.
You've got a guy, he could be world-class or he could be a complete write-off. We think he's a write-off at the moment.
It's like spending $2.99 on what looks like a fake Rolex. Yeah. And it turns out to be real.
Yes!
There must be something that they feed or give people or something in the water in the south of France.
You reckon they're on something in the south of France, do you?
any body wreck just needs to go to Toulon, basically, to be resurrected.
Yeah,
Juan Smith.
Who's injury-prone at the moment that could go?
Tom Croft.
Pocock.
Pocock,
Warburton. Jenkins,
Dan
did it as well.
Dan Carter.
Yes.
He will be going to Toulon after the World Cup.
Zero chance of Warburton getting injured. I wouldn't worry about that.
we just mentioned the top 14 club. There's a really interesting list of the budgets of the top 14 sides, which must make UK and Irish fans' eyes water looking at the budgets that some of the top sides in France have to operate with.
Yeah, although the salary cap in the top 14 is 10 million. Whereas in the Premiership, it's only 5 million. But then they have higher salaries for the players because they're allowed to have separate deals for the players. So if Adidas want to go and sponsor Juan Smith, they can do a deal through Toulon and that will subsidise his wages. So he'll get, whatever it is, 300k a year through Toulon and another 100k a year through Adidas. Hypothetically.
Well, don't Peugeot chuck a load of money into Toulouse and Michelin?
Michelin, for
a load of money into Clermont.
I'm a little bit confused now. So are you saying it's 10 million plus endorsements?
That's what I think, yeah. Okay. That's the way I read it.
Privately raised money. Well, mind you, that's what Leicester do. That's how Leicester accumulate their...
They've got great
relationships with Caterpillar and Next.
A Holland and Barrett.
Yeah.
Yep.
Places like that. Goldsmiths, I think, one of their stands.
Yeah, I think it's a very grey area. I mean, I'm all for players getting whatever they can get their hands on. I really am. But in terms of parity for the league and, you know, fair salary caps, I suppose we could say to Caterpillar, don't give us so much money, but give it to whoever you want, Iertz or someone.
Yeah,
you
know, and sponsor you just... three players. Instead of giving us £1 million sponsorship to name this stand, give us £500,000 and spread the other across your players. We all want the best players to be playing and the highest standards in the leagues that we're watching, so why not?
I don't have a problem with that as such. I certainly don't have problem with it for players. It's just an interesting one. What do you prioritise, the pay of the players or the pay of the league? Because, of course, it's the league that you need to grow.
Well, at least it's all written down and on paper, and Toulouse have come out top €35 million.
For their overall budget,
which is €10 million that they're allowed straight from the club to players on wages, and then €25 million privately raised money.
That also includes the other side of the business. So it includes, like, chefs, bar workers.
Ah, right.
One of the clubs has four different shops. So one in the ground and then three within the town and the region.
Tell you what, I love going to club shops. It might be my favourite experience of going to the ground is going to the club shop and like looking for things. You've got like cufflinks or pens or something like that.
No, but at least it's all written down on paper, whereas there's a lot of raised eyebrows and suspicion when there's rumours that a player who goes to, let's just say for argument's sake, a high-profile fly half a few years ago, I don't know, I'm just picking anything out of the air, goes to, say, I don't know, Saracens.
Okay, yeah.
And say that there's rumours that another member of his family that maybe lives with him, maybe the mother of his children, gets a job at the club on quite a good whack. You know what
well,
I mean?
Yeah, it was a cleaner or something. It was 100k a year cleaner.
I've just made that up, by the way. Just completely made that up.
That's a very, very precise made-up scenario.
Yeah, but, hypothetical scenario, though.
Yeah,
we're all aware.
Hypothetically speaking, but at least the French teams have got it all written down, whereas the English clubs, there's some shady question marks and eyebrows raised
well,
in different directions.
Someone criticised Leicester, didn't they, recently? I think it might even be Saracens. They said, look, start with Diamond.
Diamond
said something about
Leicester, I think it was.
Well, I can say one thing, and this is based, I'll just say this is total conjecture. This is not from any official source. That said, with that out of the way, let me just say that I have heard Sale Sharks, young, promising, second-string hooker Tommy Taylor, promising player, is officially, according to the spreadsheets that will get submitted, earning more money officially than the two international hookers who are at Saracens.
No. More than Brits?
More than Brits, more than Jamie George.
See, this is another thing which annoys me about rugby and I love about American football is we have no idea what the contracts are. We can guess what the contracts are, but we don't know. In American football, it's all clearly set out. I don't know if it's a thing about competition law or there's something, there's privacy, but I'd love to know what people are getting paid.
Yeah.
Because you could make a real, as a fan as well, you can make a real informed decision as to, is that good business for your club if you've let someone go? Because you don't know. I mean, say if Jamie George is on, just say 300,000, he's not, but say if he is, but we don't know that, and you let him go, we say, oh, well, you're letting go an academy player, but really what you're doing is freeing up cap space.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what people are earning.
But the more information, the better. For me, but they won't do it, will they?
It's stipulated in the Aviva rules that they are not allowed to tell. Well, you've got to keep it confidential who your uncapped player is.
Your marquee signing.
Your marquee signing.
The one that's outside of the salary cap.
Within a team, there's one guy who can be outside of the salary cap.
Hmm.
I'd love to get an agent on to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, we do. I'd love that as well.
Yeah, if you're an agent, give us a call.
Definitely. Right, so we've dealt with the... Oh, right, I know what I want to talk about. You're aware of this ice bucket challenge, right?
Unfortunately.
I knew you'd do that response, JB. Do you know what, JB? Your cynicism, I think, I share it with you to a degree. I think, unfortunately, what's happened is people are losing sight of what it was started for, and I think we should remind...
I don't want to know either.
No, I'm going to tell you. It was a guy who was a really promising college baseball player who was tipped to go pro in Boston called Peter Frates, and he got motor neurone disease, or ASL as they call it in America. And him and his friends just on Facebook just sort of thought they'd start raising a little fund for ASL. And one thing they did just to try and say, hey, give a couple of quid, we'll do this. And they tipped a bucket of ice, cold water.
No one's donating. They're just tipping buckets of water over the head.
Exactly. And now it's become about which celebrities have done it and it's not about the money. And also, no charity is a bad charity, let's just say
that. Yes, it is.
But
there's loads of bad charities.
There are bad charities.
Alcohol Concern.
Macmillan Cancer Research do great work.
Yes.
But it's outrageous, in my opinion. Give to them if you want to give to Macmillan, but it's outrageous. They've stolen it. And it's now they're now saying, do the Macmillan Ice Bucket Challenge when it was for motor neurone disease.
Mm.
So if you're going to give money for it, and if you're going to do it for motor neurone disease, which was the intention of the fella that started it.
From a rugby point of view, Joost van der Vesthuizen, one of the best scrum halves of all time, Springbok legend, and he has ALS, motor neurone disease. And so if only for that, it's a good thing for the rugby fraternity to raise awareness and be aware of it.
Well, that's exactly what I want to bring up now, because I've got some rugby players doing the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Oh, really?
This one first.
Are you meant to guess by the gasps?
Well, a little bit. You won't guess this one, but basically this is...
Andy Goode.
No, it's Liam Williams. But I just like the fact that...
From Court, the Swansea lad.
Yeah. But I just like how much his mum, I'm assuming it's his mum, is just absolutely howling in the background.
Hope he's not his girlfriend.
Or he's into maybe slightly older women. That's fine as well. That was Danny Cipriani's.
No, Sippers.
What I like about this one from Sippers is he sounds like he turns into a monster. and then, well, you mentioned the Juice van der Vesthuizen one, and that's the one I wanted to just highlight.
Thanks, Juice, for the nomination.
Oh, yeah, Juice van der Vesthuizen did it and then nominated the South African rugby team and the Australian rugby team. And Nick White, straight after their match against New Zealand, did this.
Thanks, Juice, for the nomination. I accept that nomination on behalf of the Qantas Wallabies. Just everyone, remember to donate big at alsa.org. All right, boys, let's get it done.
And I like what they did because they had a couple of their big units holding him upside down by his feet. Dunking him into it.
Oh, that was a really good video. Nothing to do with charity. A guy called Prince Amukamara, who plays for the New York Giants, was picked up by a D lineman and thrown into a bucket of water. And he doesn't laugh at all. He thinks this is very serious. Not only does he think it's serious, apparently his mum complained that it made like US news about bullying culture within NFL teams.
Well, Keane Healy, there was an incredible waste of water if you've seen his one, because he got the
Dublin Fire Department.
The Dublin Fire Department to douse him with about three hoses.
That was good, wasn't it?
Oh no!
Have you got the audio for Brian O'Driscoll?
We're just wasting clean water.
I haven't got Brian O'Driscoll's audio. I can get it. Yeah, is it?
Yeah, Brian O'Driscoll's is very good. We did retweet it last week.
Did we? Where have I been for all this?
Here's Bods.
Shane Lowry, I accept your ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, and I nominate 1, Tanu Maga, 2, Warren Gatland, and 3, Prince Albert of Monaco.
Wow, he's got a varied contact list.
Well, I want to know why Prince Albert of Monaco is a sort of enemy of his.
Yeah, no,
sworn what's enemy like Tanu Manga.
Oh yeah, of
Warren
course,
Gatland.
Tanu Manga
and Warren Gatland.
Very good. Some explanation.
Someone must know.
I think that's a brilliant reminder, though, Phil. Let's just remember that Juiced van der Vesthuizen. If it wasn't enough that the fact that the guy who started this ice bucket challenge, a fellow with motor neurone disease in Boston, started it, and that was his intention. If one reason to swerve all the other charities that are trying to get in on the act, remember one of rugby's finest players of the last couple
just
of
generations. Just make sure
generation.
If you do it, donate. Don't be one of those guys.
Well, we've had a really varied podcast so far.
Yes. About 10% of it has been about rugby.
Well, let's change that right now then. Let's change that right now because we're doing a Geography 15. Let's get into this then. So we like to just occasionally pick a topic and then fill a team 1 to 15 with players on a given topic. And this one comes linked to last week's podcast when Phil, when selecting a team from Sale Sharks, Newcastle, Leicester and Northampton, didn't put in Samu Manoah.
I did
controversial
not.
Controversial omission.
No. He'd be first reserve for the back row, second row, but no.
A lot of people upset about that on Twitter, Phil.
I know.
Rightly so. I'm upset.
Samu Manoah, obviously, you changed the two first letters of his name around and you have the name of the country that is his origin, Manu Samoa.
Sorry about this, but I can't take any requests at the moment. Please try again in a bit.
Is that me?
It's not me.
It is you. It's your phone. Oh. It's your Siri.
What?
What the hell?
Oh, wow. Thank you, Siri. You can go away now.
So, Samu Manoah, obviously, is kind of named after the country of his origin, Manu Samoa. Mm. So, we thought we'd make him the starting point of a Geography 15.
Excellent.
So, Samu Manoah, I've given him the number 4 shirt and the captain as well.
Oh, wow. So, we only need one... one of the second row.
So we've got 14 shirts to fill. Well, we can put him in the back row if we'd rather, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think we need him in the second row.
I've only got 2 second rows, so one of them can join him. I've got a few more back rows.
Well, let's start at fullback then. 15.
Okay.
There's one obvious one, isn't there? Current big name.
Dan Scarborough.
Ooh, Dan Scarborough's good. I was going to go Rob Cook.
I was going to go Israel Folau.
Now, you're assuming that we as the Egg Chasers podcast, recognise Israel as a country.
Oh, Which we do.
Israel Dag, Israel Folau.
Israel Dag or Israel Folau.
The way I think we should have the player where the location is the biggest location. So like...
Cook Islands don't win then.
Yeah.
Israel's fairly small.
Or like,
right, okay.
So Israel.
Israel then.
Yeah.
And let's go Folau because he's playing at the moment. From
yes.
Top yep. level. Right, wingers. If you do it in Game of Thrones speak, you could have George North. Just
yeah,
like,
yeah, that, and the north. North is pretty big.
George of the North, it is pretty big.
Is Ascot a place? Is that Ascot?
I'm not sure.
Royal Ascot. It's probably how the royal family say it. Yeah. Going to Ascot.
Ascot.
We're going to Ascot this weekend.
I've got Taylor Paris, who's Canadian international winger.
Nice.
Carlin Isles, Dougie Fife, Scottish Scotland winger.
What
that's it? Such a Scottish name as well.
I know.
Dougie Fife. Dougal Fife.
Hey, I've got one that, oh no, again, if you have to say it a bit different, like the Ascot one. Nicky Geneva.
Geneva. Struggling with that one.
Yeah. I think George North gets in.
George North and then.
And
Dougie Fife.
Dougie Fife.
Dougie Fife and George North. Centres.
Well, you can have, I guess, Manu Tuilagi, but a bit weak.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Well, no, he's not weak.
No.
Definitely not.
Chad London is a USA international centre. Alex Dunbar, another Scottish international named after a Scottish place.
Jason Holland, the New Zealand centre.
Ah, nice.
That is good.
That is a big place as
he
well.
He played for Munster for 9 years, I think. He played in a couple of the Heineken Cup finals in Munster in like the mid-2000s.
It's not really a location, but looking at geographical features... Darren Cave.
I was looking for geographical names like...
Robert Estuary.
Yeah, exactly. Ones like that. But I could find hardly any.
No, I know. I've got one other in the front row, but it's not very
centers, good. Pick some centres.
Jason Holland, accompanied by Chad London.
Chad nice, London's great.
Nice. Fly half.
I've got a few. Paul Warwick,
yeah.
Joe Carlisle.
Joe Carlisle is one
who's been Worcester Wasps, and I think he's gone to Italy this year.
Yeah,
continually
doing well. Then
continually been Andy Good's number two for like the last 5 years.
Yeah, how do you ever get past him though? let him fly.
And Leicester perennial utility back Matt Cornwall.
Oh yeah,
who was there for like 4 or 5 years in the mid 2000s, and went playing at a few different places, including Italy. Was back there last year, and I think has gone back to Italy now. Mm. Played all over.
Go on then, pick one.
Warwick.
Yeah. All right, Paul Warwick. Number 9. This is one of the ones I couldn't come up with one for.
I couldn't either. I'm sure there must be.
Oh, hang on. I'm sure I can think of one. I say I'm sure. Obviously not that sure.
All right, well, help us out on that one. That rugby podcast. We've got a gap to fill already. We're there. 15 to 10 is sorted, but 9 is not. Let's do the forwards while we're thinking that one. I've got a brilliant one.
Okay.
For loose head prop.
Ooh. Oh, I've got a good one for loose head prop as well, but
Oz Durant.
Ah, well done.
That is good.
Is it as good as your one though, Phil?
Well, mine's his last name is Double Barrel, and both of them are place names.
Wow.
What?
Kane Palmer Newport.
Oh, I've got him.
Who is that?
I've got him as my tight end. Have you got him? Is he a loose head?
I don't actually know if he's loose head or tight.
Who is he?
He's Bath. Young Bath prop.
Kane Palmer. Oh, wow. Palmer Newport. Yeah, I've got him down as well.
Yeah.
What other props are there then? So that's two props currently, Oz Durant and Kane Palmer Newport.
Charlie Beach. Jimmy Litchfield has just signed for London Welsh.
Jimmy Litchfield. The most rubbish.
Tim Potts.
That's awful, isn't it?
Tom French.
Yeah. Now that is a weird career, Tom French.
Yeah.
He played two finals and never played again.
Should we go Oz Durant and Kane Palmer Newport then?
Yeah, let's do that.
Done.
Yeah, good.
Hooker, I'm going to chuck Dorian West straight in.
Yeah, good. I've got Dorian West. There's also Corey Britton.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. What's he famous for?
Well, he just had a recent move to London Welsh, actually. I think quite a few other people.
Maybe we should look him up. Oh, we don't have time, but maybe our listeners should look him up.
Yeah.
If you look him up, and just to make your life easier so you don't get loads of match reports, look him up and also look up the words... swimming pool, changing rooms,
camera,
and
arrest,
upset woman, and police.
Yes.
Yeah, I think those are the key terms.
I think narrow it down enough.
Yeah.
Oh dear, I'm putting safe search on as well.
Don't do it at work.
Second, so which one do you want? We'll go Corey Britton then. Second row, we've already got Sammy Manoa. Who's going to make our other second row?
Jim Hamilton.
That's why. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Nice.
I'm still thinking of scrum half.
We'll go into the back row then. Yep. Would Sergio Parisse, would that be a real bit too tenuous?
You're looking for Paris there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do like it when names and teams fit. Like Arsene Wenger at Arsenal and Sergio Parisse in Paris. It just fits.
It is good, isn't it? Geographical feature, Richard Hill.
Nice. Richard Hill's in. Richard Hill is in.
Italian international. Have you got him, Tim? Paul Derbyshire.
What? He's an Italian international?
Yeah, not very Italian. He might be South African.
He's not beating Richard Hill.
Simon Easterby. Joe Worsley.
Oh, yeah.
Worsley.
Suburb of Salford.
Salford.
And one we all mentioned before the pod, Leroy Houston.
Yes, Leroy Houston.
He could go number eight, either him or Jordan Crane.
Oh, Jordan, yeah. Very good. Yeah, Jordan Crane should be in there.
Jordan Crane, Leroy Houston, and Richard Hill.
Richard Hill.
Right, we can't come up with a scrum off. Help us.
Yes, please.
This is annoying me.
Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. Right, a little bit of a stash update, I reckon, boys. I think it's long overdue on this podcast.
Since last week.
Stash! I mean, we've waited this long into this podcast to talk about Saracen's new kit.
I like it.
I was worried that you wouldn't like it, Jay. I really like it.
I think it's all right.
I think it's a bit barcode-y.
It is a bit barcode-y. Who said that on Twitter?
Yeah, someone said, really, what funny. Happens if you scan it with your phone? Yeah. That was quite good.
I don't mind it. I think it's...
But actually, to be fair, knowing Saracens and some of the gimmicks they like to do, I wouldn't mind if that's actually part of the thinking.
Oh, that'd be such a great gimmick.
You buy the shirt and then you can scan it and get a free ticket to a game or something like that.
Careful, they might use that now.
I think they might. I think they'd be smart to. It's all right. It's quite good. I think it's better than last season's kit. Although, again, it's another team. Why change your kit after 1 year? That's annoying.
Do you reckon that eventually Saracens are going to replace all the numbers and names with just
QR readers?
QR codes. And the ref's got to run around and scan them. So,
yellow card, he just sort of...
beep, beep. Here we go. Another one as well. Someone said, is it Glasgow or someone sent in?
Yeah, Glasgow and Edinburgh. Was it Macron? Again? Yeah, because they're sponsored by BT Sport this year.
They're awful. Is that the new one?
That's the new one there.
That's awful.
Based on last season's kit, I'm quite...
It's just uninspired, isn't it?
I'm quite happy for it to be changed. Turn it round, Phil.
That one there. That's Edinburgh.
Yeah. It's not a great deal different, is it, really?
No, it's nothing.
It's like, are they just borrowed Toulouse's kit from last year?
Yeah. Well, probably hand-me-downs, aren't they?
BT Sport's an interesting one, though, for sponsoring them. Because it's Guinness Pro 12. Yeah. Is now going to be on Sky, as someone pointed out to me on Twitter, because I got it wrong. I said
that's
it was
really
on...
just rubbing it in with Sky, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
We've got Aviva Premiership, we've got half of Europe, and now the one tournament you completely own yourself, we're sponsoring a bunch of the teams. Yeah, that is a bit of...
At least we can watch, like, Munster, Leinster and stuff like that on a reasonable broadcast instead of S4C.
Yeah, big games like that, Ulster, Leinster.
I'm looking forward to that. Munster,
like the Welsh... The Welsh language stuff.
Do you know Welsh language stuff? There's also an option to listen to it in English.
Is it like red button option?
Yeah.
In the Welsh teams, there's always a few of them that can speak Welsh, and they're the ones that get
always.
Out for
it used to be Stephen Jones.
Yeah,
I remember Stephen when I was watching the Welsh language channel for Lions in Australia, like the one before, and it'd be like some the commentator would sound really bored. So I'm just trying to think of the Lions like lineup, and it'd be like, Wilkinson, Henderson, O'Driscoll. Down, David! Down! Wilkinson. Henderson.
I know Rob Higgett, when he went, I used to play with him, I know he kept it very quiet. He was at Bath Uni, and then he went and played a bit at Caerphilly while he was at uni. And he kept it very quiet that he was a Welsh speaker. But as soon as they found out, that was it. He got wheeled out every single time. Did either of you watch the Challenge Cup final or any part of it the weekend?
No, I didn't. Who won?
I watched bits of it.
Leeds, Ryan. Oh, won it.
Boring.
They beat Castlefield.
Castleford.
Sorry.
He needs to get that right.
This is why Mick Morgan hasn't come and joined us on the podcast.
I like this. Someone on Twitter said that BBC should have had a red button option to have Mick Morgan. Mick Morgan.
I actually feel like we're partly responsible for the rise of the cult of the Honey Badger. because it feels like we were right there even before the cult grew. It would have grown anyway.
Yeah.
And the same for Mick Morgan. It feels like we've shared it. I feel a little bit like we've been a gateway for Mick Morgan into the rugby union fraternity.
Yeah. I certainly hope so, because the more people exposed to Mick Morgan, the better it is.
The better. Well, let's just have that little remix that someone did for us. When we've been playing his commentary for about a month non-stop, we said, someone do a remix, and there we go, our prayers were answered.
In the final and on it again, Andy A.
Oh, that's good.
How has the man still got a job?
I know.
He's awesome. I mean, I would have him commentate for everything.
I would.
Rugby, football, funerals. I don't care. I'm amazed he's still doing it.
It is amazing. This weekend I saw not just the Rugby League Challenge Cup final. I saw some, like, can't have been older than 6 or 7 year olds playing rugby league. And the skill level is phenomenal.
Is that just a cliche? Is that true?
No. It is so true. I think actually it just comes down to the fact that they only have really 4 skills they've got to master: catching and passing, tackling, and then evasive running. Mm. And then actually, that's pretty much the basic core skills of rugby league, isn't it? I take my lad to mini rugby, and he's under 7. And the skill level of these lads that were about the same age at rugby league, these kids could all catch, pass consistently. They all run. It's another level. And then when you watch Challenge Cup final and you see some of the skills and the angles that they run,
I tell you what,
there's still lots that we can learn.
I think the big difference is in league, skill-wise, is the short kicking game is phenomenal. I mean, if Union could get a good short kicking game, it'd be interesting.
The short kicking game was used by New Zealand quite well against Australia this weekend.
Used one.
Yeah.
Well, and again, the tackling is just faultless. I was watching the tackling and thinking Kirtley Bill would not make it as an NRL player, as has been predicted he might go to NRL, because he missed 42%. That's one stat I can bring.
That is
fact.
42% of his tackles he missed.
That is unacceptable. That is bad.
That's not great. That isn't great.
Really, really bad.
But outside him,
Tamua was absolutely solid. Superb. Yeah, his defence. He's just hitting so hard at everything that came down his 12 channel.
Yeah, he's a very good player, isn't he?
Yeah. Be interesting to see what they do after that beatdown, whether they do switch it up and whether they put... they put Foley in at 10 and who they put at 12 alongside him.
Yeah, why don't they put Folau on the wing and Beale at 15 just to get their best players on the field?
Could do, yeah.
Might well do. Right, I think it's time that we dipped into one last time some pitches for teams trying to recruit Phil in the Fan Free Agency. So Phil has played man and boy for Sedgley Park up to championship level. As a result, he's never had a team to follow. He's always been involved in playing at a decent level. So he's never experienced what it's like to pull on a shirt and be a fan, go to the ground, have a pre-match pie and post-match drink. Well, he's going to do that, but the club he chooses is going to be, well, that's up for grabs. It could be down to you. Although I say that, if you haven't entered your team already, time is up, because this is the last chance saloon for some last little entries we've had. Currently, the ones that have made it through to your shortlist, Phil?
Are Ulster, Bath, Leicester Tigers, Old Sullians RFC, Harlequins and London Irish.
No.
Oh, and Northampton Saints, sorry, who made it last week.
Looks like a bit of comeuppance for me. So, because it might be comeuppance for me, I'm not going to read this. I'm going to give it to Tim.
Right. Ooh. Wow, this is cryptic. Okay, so we have another pitch for the Fan Free Agency. It's an email. It says, hello, JB. Sorry this took 2 months. It wasn't easy trying to pitch the Falcons. I know there's about as much chance of Phil choosing the Falcons as there is of Andy Powell winning Celebrity Mastermind, but here goes. I live in the Northeast and the Falcons are my local team. Oh, this is from Tom Wilson, by the way. That's why I'm a Falcons fan, and I think that's probably the case for most other Falcon fans too. There are no glory hunters at Kingston Park. They're their new synthetic pitch, by the way, at the weekend.
Yeah.
First game on it. They lost to Rotherham, though, but anyway. There's no one there because it's a social event and they want to be seen. I think every fan so far has claimed that their team plays an exciting brand of attacking rugby, blah, blah, blah. You know as well as I do, the Falcons don't. But one of the brilliant things about rugby is there are lots of different ways to play. We didn't score many tries last year, but we played to our strengths and it was just good enough. We don't have the best backline in the league. We play a forward-dominated game. Someone forgot to tell the ground staff that before they put in the new artificial pitch, which is going to favour all these exciting attacking teams who come and play on it, but never mind. Kingston Park really isn't the Arctic wasteland some rugby pundits say it is.
Mm.
It's one of the smaller grounds in the Premiership, but it's better than a football stadium that's only a third full. It has the longest bar in the UK. Smaller crowds mean smaller queues, Phil. Plus, it's 25 minutes on the metro to the city centre, and Newcastle is a great night out, so bear that in mind if you're going to be doing a pod at a ground. That's a good point.
Isn't it?
We're not just there for the rugby. We want to soak all the local delicacies and ales and whatnot.
Yeah,
definitely. That is very important.
It is very important.
The Falcons weren't the most entertaining team to watch last year, but the only objective was to stay up, and they did. And we've signed some great new players. Josh Furno, brilliant for Italy in the Six Nations. Three Tuilagis, who are probably all in the top 10 Tuilagis. And Kane Thompson, Samoan international row from the Chiefs, adding power to an already strong pack, spicing up the back line a little bit. We've produced some great number 10s, Wilkinson and Flood, both obvious, and Joel Hodgson more recently, who decided to go play for Northampton in the LV Cup instead of staying and probably being the first choice Premiership 10 at Kingston Park. That was meant to sound as bitter as it does. So if Phil wants glory, or to go to sunny Richmond with the Red Trouser Brigade.
We do.
Good luck to him. But if he wants to go to a ground full of pie-eating Northerners and a team on the up, he could do a lot worse than Newcastle Falcons. Plus, with Rory Clegg and Phil Godman as the fly-half options, if Phil can get fit, he'd have an outside chance of getting a game. Keep up the good work.
Tremendous pitch.
It's absolutely superb pitch. I love that.
Well done, Tom. Well done, Tom.
Now,
well, if that's an indication of the sort of fans that Newcastle Falcons have, then I think it would be a nice home for Phil.
I see, yeah, they're very grounded. They're very realistic. And there's some things I'll admit I didn't consider. I didn't consider the size of the bar. Yeah. I didn't consider the nights out.
It's as easy for us to get to Newcastle as it is for us to get to London, say.
Easier
in some respects.
And also, good luck with the Red Trouser Brigade. I really like that. It's cool.
I'm not so sure.
Oh, you are sure, Tim. You are sure.
I don't like those salmon pink shorts and blue shirts with the sleeves rolled up and three buttons undone.
That's exactly what I wear.
You see in Richmond a lot.
Yeah, blue shirts with white collars and no good at all.
Oh, no, no, not with white collars.
No.
Oh, God, no.
Anyway, I think it's time for me to decide. So that was a fantastic pitch. It really was one of the best ones.
Yeah, I think that was probably the best one we've had, actually.
We have had some other very good ones, but that was very good.
To make a rugby analogy, this is effectively like last day of the season. Newcastle Falcons, are they staying up or are they going down? Are they through to your shortlist or are they dropping out into oblivion?
It's kind of like the tramp who, instead of begs for money for food, says, yeah, I'm going to spend it on beer, but just give me a quid. You know, it's a very honest pitch.
There might be more more flattering analogies to draw there, yeah. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
So I have said that I would like to be a bit of a glory hunter, but that's not the only thing that I'm looking for. I'm looking for kind of a good home, someone who's welcoming and accepting, and it's going to be a good atmosphere when we do go down and do a pod and we are greeted and welcomed and all that, and that's all very positive. The other thing about Newcastle is their synthetic pitch means that whoever beats them on the day that we go to watch them will be playing some great rugby.
Yeah.
And you're never going to get a game called off.
Yes.
Waterlogged pitches and stuff.
And you get to win the championship every other year. So you do have some glory.
Some glory. And a night out in Newcastle is very tempting. But I think that the negatives do outweigh the positives.
And what are they, Phil?
Not being very good, bad kit, not playing entertaining rugby is a big negative. You said they have a forward-dominated game, but not a great pack.
There's no finer sight in rugby than a good driving maul, in my book.
On a synthetic pitch. But I'm afraid it's a no from me for Newcastle Falcons.
I thought you were going to say yes.
Wow.
Great pitch.
That was...
fantastic pitch.
Tom, I think you did a fantastic job. You should be proud of yourself and your fellow Falcons.
Mm.
Wow. That's put a sour taste in everybody's mouth right there.
No, GB's happy.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy, actually. I wasn't that keen on going.
I did worry
Bath,
about...
We've actually got an extra weekend in Bath now, yes!
I did worry about actually getting GB up to Newcastle if I did pick them.
Like B.A. Bracker's going on a plane.
Well, hopefully, Tom, you go to away games and whichever team Phil ends up choosing, maybe we'll see you there for a pint.
Yes.
You sound like you'd be good value, fella. Nice one. Thank you very much. And next week, Phil will be deciding which team. Let's go through that shortlist one more time, Phil. The potential teams. And you are going to full on... go for it. You're going to buy the shirt. We're going to go to games, do podcasts from the ground.
Yeah.
Paint his face.
You'll get more airtime because I will mention you at the start of every pod.
He'll paint his face, as JB just said.
He definitely will. Paint my face. Paint my chest.
Paint my face. Sounds like an Alan Partridge catchphrase.
So we've got Ulster, Bath, Leicester, Old Sullians, Harlequins, London Irish, Northampton Saints are all through.
Is that seven?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes. And if we have done
Leicester... You could knock out one a day on Twitter, as in, like, eliminate one a day, wow. So we get down to, like, a final three by the time the podcast is done or something like that.
I might
what should
do
we do for the final three? How does X Factor do it?
They sing. They can't really, like...
We could do a review their pre-season performances.
Oh, that would be to pick a team based on the pre-season performances seems a bit shallow.
Yeah, look at Manchester United's pre-season.
I'm looking for an X Factorism now, but you've got to pick with your heart.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm very tempted to buy the shirt. Decide this week, buy the shirt, and then unveil it.
Yeah,
whip off my lovely Canterbury hoodie that we received a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And show the shirt. That
I might be suing Canterbury. Like the standard of service that I get now is so much less because I'm constantly dressed like this, which is
joggers
hoodie,
and a
joggers.
Hoodie.
I'm dressed like a single mum. So I'm just going to have to...
daring me. Oh, just to tick off another one of JB's groups. JB's managed to offend. Excellent.
I didn't think we'd ever get a Newcastle fan rating in after all the horrible things you said.
Fair play
to that lad.
I'm impressed by that. Right, we've got one final thing to do on today's podcast. Actually, I'm just quickly going to... I took an interest. You mentioned the pre-season games, Phil. I took an interest in some of the pre-season action, not least because I was match announcing at Sale Sharks, who took on Worcester. By the way, Worcester looking a whole... I think they look better now than they did last year.
Really?
Such a young team, and they've...
good coach as well.
Yeah. Well, no, their forwards held Sale scrum, and they did not take a backward step the whole day.
Be interesting
who was propping for them, just out of interest?
It was a lad called... they're all young local lads, but it was... Oh, he had an unusual name. I thought he might have been like Eastern European or something like that.
Ah, right.
When I saw the team sheet.
Not Rob O'Donnell.
It was Val Rapava Ruskin. He's a young lad. I think he's one to watch. Mm. He's only 21 years of age, I think.
The ding dongs.
He was born in Tbilisi.
Oh, really?
But he moved to England age 2.
Wow.
So he is Eastern European.
Yeah.
He's an Eastern European name, but there you go, one to watch.
He's definitely going to be strong.
He's incredibly strong. And on the flip side and on the other side, Sale Sharks, how can I put this nicely? I think they must have washed Ivy and Roberts' shirt on a very hot wash and it shrunk.
Wow.
He's got bigger.
Really?
And not
in a good way.
How's
the scrimmaging?
You didn't do anything major, to be honest. They're playing a bit tighter this year.
Yeah, you said that a couple of times.
Have you heard about my mental theory?
What?
It's not my mental theory. I've heard this from a good source. The Adam Jones theory.
What's that? Oh, yeah, because, of course, Adam Jones has been in the papers this week and he's been... his new coach, Cardiff Blues, has come out and said he needs to lose weight.
Is that right?
He's looking big because he's not been pre-season training. He's looking...
Well, the Adam Jones theory goes something like this, which is apparently the switch to tight head, and I will take this with a pinch of salt, is because they want an Adam Jones replacement for the World Cup. Not to replace him, but in case he goes down.
No, I was looking at Ivy and Lewis Roberts. I have to be respectful in what I say because there are he's a Premiership player. He's had a long and distinguished career. He doesn't look like a guy that will be a tight head international class.
Well, when he was playing youth level rugby, he used to have to get wellies especially made for his calves.
Wow. That is awesome. Fact. Love that fact. Thanks. More facts like that, please, JB. So, yeah, Worcester looked good. And I think Worcester and Bristol will be a bit of a titanic struggle in the Championship. Sale Sharks, I think, look underdone. And I worry big time about their back row. I think they're small. Magnus Lund has come in. His hair is ridiculous.
Is it long?
It's long like...
Khaleesi.
Like Rapunzel long. Like Khaleesi long.
Like Khal Drogo. Like, yeah. He's never lost a fight, so he can never be
exactly.
cut.
Exactly. So he wears a scrum cap and then he doesn't tie it up or anything. It just comes out like a lion's mane.
So he's got the hair of Khaleesi all over his back. With the build of Khaleesi, is what you're saying.
Elsewhere, Saracens looking really good form in pre-season. Exeter had a good win at Ulster, didn't they?
Yes. 22-21. Although it was, I think it was two last-minute tries. I think Ulster were winning. And it was, so you wouldn't read into it too much because it might be a changed team. They might have changed the whole team.
London Irish beat Bristol by a point, a late comeback from Bristol. Rotherham beat Newcastle Falcons.
Mm.
And the first match on the new synthetic pitch. That's got to be a concern for Newcastle.
Yeah, so yeah. I imagine it is.
Northampton Saints had a good win against Leinster. And what else is there to say?
Didn't Leicester play Edinburgh?
Yes, they lost.
Did they?
I think. So, no. They were one with the last minute kick. 12-11, I think it was.
Ugh.
Yeah, a bit of an ugly game, but bad conditions.
And did Harlequins play Glasgow?
Yes, I think they lost it, but had a bit of a moral victory because they lost in the last minute, but played much better.
Yeah.
Anyway. That is it. I've ticked off all the items on our agenda, gents. We are done until next week's big Premiership and Pro 12 preview podcast. If I can't think of any more words that start with P that aren't rude. So I will say thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time on the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast.